Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Max from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Welcome, Max.
Thank you, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great.
Great. It's great to have you on the air tonight.
Likewise. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, wonderful. Tell me about your experience of Reflective Listening Buddies.
Oh, this is one of my favorite things in my life. So should we explain a little bit about what Reflective Listening Buddies is?
Sure. Wherever you want to start is great.
So it's a program that the monastery puts on where two people are paired together for a period of 3 months, and they have a weekly call together to look at whatever they're seeing in their awareness practice.
Uh-huh. So it's a program that the monastery puts together, and you're paired with someone for 3 months, and you have a weekly call to look at what you're seeing in your practice.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So the partners take turns. Each person speaks for 15 minutes, not a solid 15 minutes, but speaks a little bit, and then their partner reflects back to them what they've just said.
Uh-huh. So each person has a chance to talk for 15 minutes, and the person hears back, reflected back to them, what they've just shared.
Exactly. So it's a chance to express whatever you're seeing in your awareness practice, to have that said back to you, and to have further, I always experience anyway that I have further awarenesses as I'm speaking and as I'm hearing my awarenesses reflected back to me. It just cranks up the awareness.
Uh-huh. So it just cranks up the awareness as you share your awarenesses and have them reflected back to you.
Yes, and this is all in a context of being extremely present, because it's really on both sides. When you're reflecting your partner, you must be very, very present in order to say back to them what they've said to you, which is so different from ordinary conversation.
Yeah.
But being in the presence of a person who is so present for you, who's about to reflect back what you've said, so that they're paying very close attention and they're perfectly present with you, somehow that heightens one's own sense of presence, I think.
Uh-huh.
It's very magical, really.
Yeah, magical. And I'm smiling here because, as you're probably well aware, I was reflecting what you were sharing in the first part of your conversation here.
Mm-hmm. And were you experiencing what I was talking about?
Yes.
That sort of heightened presence and awareness?
To me, what I love about Reflective Listening Buddies, it sounds like it's similar to what you love about it, is that it really requires me to show up and be present.
Yes. Yes, it certainly does. And I appreciate that about it, too. So there are the awarenesses that I gain in reflecting on my awareness practice, and then there's also just the pure joy of showing up. And I think it's one of the most powerful supports that I have in my life for showing up.
Wow. Wow. One of the most powerful supports in your life for showing up.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and it's great in my experience, because once I commit to the program, I'm showing up. That's what I'm going to do. And
right.
There may be opinions about, I don't want to do it this week, or why did I pick this time? But the beauty of practice is we make commitments, and then we see how conditioning tries to interfere with those.
Yes, that's my experience, too, in meditation and in all the other commitments that I make. And I see that, in my life, I'll make these sort of tentative commitments. They don't all come to pass in the way that showing up for Reflective Listening week after week does. That's, conditioning will come up with some arguments against it, or some grousing or whatever, but There's really no conversation entertained about that. I just do that, and I'm always so grateful. It is really such a powerful experience for me.
Yeah, yes, powerful experience for you. And for me also, that sense of I'm making a commitment, and there's not going to be any conversation about it because this is what I've committed to do.
Right.
And in my experience, having the commitment to another person is really a critical piece of it.
Yes, yes. So there's this commitment to the other person. And I find another piece that I really, really love about this practice is the feeling, you know what, it's just so much fun to connect and be present with another human in this way. I think that's just about the funnest thing there is just really being present together with another present human. And I find that I have such a strong feeling of connection, and I just feel bigger and better after a reflective listening call. You know, not like a small conditioned human so much.
Feel bigger and better, more so than a conditioned human. And I project the word that comes up for me as you were sharing that was adequacy. You feel adequate to your life.
Yes.
Much more than adequate.
Yes. And you remind me of another thing that I love so much about this practice, which is that when we speak and share with each other about our experience, all we get back is a reflection of our own words. There's never any advice, never any assumption that we're not adequate to our experience and, you know, that maybe one of us needs to jump in and fix or help the other. None of that, just adequate and reflecting that adequacy.
Adequate and reflecting that adequacy. And the beauty of it, of course, is there's no room in the program to jump in with any opinions or advice because as part of practice, it's explicitly not allowed.
Yes, and it's the only place in my life just about that I experience that. It's really unique in my experience that, you know, nobody will jump in with their, embellishments or their improved phrasing or their opinions or their story about how they understand perfectly. It's just, and so much of ordinary conversation is that.
Yes. Yes.
This is completely different.
Yes, yes. And for me, you didn't say this, and I project you, this is part of it as well, is for me there's no small talk. There's none of that small talk that comes with a lot of the conditioned conversations that are in the world.
Right, right. And that's such a relief, too. That's very difficult, actually, to do at first. What? No, I'm not going to ask how they are. I'm not going to check in with what we said last week. I'm not, you know.
Yes.
But that has come to me to seem really, really lovely. It's a really lovely piece of it, that there's none of that. We just get straight to the practice.
Yeah, none of that. We just get straight to the practice.
Yeah.
I start out with, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all the introduction we need.
Right.
So the deadline is coming up for a new quarter, and all the details are on the website, and I believe it's April 5th, which is the deadline for signing up for next quarter. And I think we mentioned most of the aspects of the program. Are there any more that you're remembering in this moment?
Maybe that there's a training call for new people.
Yes.
So there's plenty of information about how to do it and some practice before you start.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sign up when we get off the phone here. I would stress how much fun it is. It's just a very fun practice.
Uh-huh. Very fun practice.
Yeah.
And that training call that you mentioned, and there are also several, usually three, support calls throughout the quarter where people can check in about their process and how it's working and what's challenging or like that.
Mm-hmm. And listen to people actually doing the practice, reflecting one another on that call, which is great.
Yes. 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 Max, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good evening and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be here.
Great. Great to have you on the air.
Yeah, that was a really fun conversation about reflective listening buddies.
Yes. Yes.
So funny because just today we were talking at the monastery. We had a meeting about some things and we were talking about how often kind of the simplest ideas that come to us end up being the greatest successes in practice.
Uh-huh.
And how this was one of those. I mean, this is, I don't even know how many years ago now. Gosh, a bunch. Probably like, gosh, I wish we had our reflective listening buddies person here, but at least I would say 7+ years ago, there was just a far-flung Sangha person who said, you know, I could really use this certain kind of support if I, and we thought, okay, well, yeah, we could pair you up with someone and, you know, sure, that's great. Didn't really think anything of it. And then really quickly, it mushroomed into this beautiful program that's available to the entire Sangha.
Yes, it's great. And if you have a phone, you're eligible.
Exactly. That's the thing. It doesn't even people like us way out here in the sticks with, you know, really slow internet connections, it doesn't matter. We can participate. All you need is a phone.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
It is a wonderful experience for me. And it's a real chance to look at my process and really have no interference about doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get, as you guys were both saying, just get purely reflected. What a gift that is. Yep.
Thank you for help facilitating that.
Yeah.
Jen, I have some announcements here.
Okay, excellent. I hope you're going to start with the opportunity this very evening.
Absolutely.
Right.
So, tonight, Sherry Huber will be in San Francisco. She's at, I believe it's the First Unitarian Universalist Church.
Huh?
And she'll be talking, as she likes to say, about anything that people want to talk about.
I even have the address right here in front of me in case anyone is dashing out the door to go to the event.
Oh,
it's 1187 Franklin Street. 1187 Franklin. It's at Franklin and Geary.
Franklin and Geary in San Francisco. And I know that it starts at 7 o'clock.
Starts at 7 o'clock. I just found out recently, like a few minutes ago, I think we all did, that apparently they open the doors at 6:30 and at 6:45 there's a sitting meditation for 15 minutes, which was not something we knew about ahead of time. But if anyone's hearing this call and they're participating and they want to have a 15-minute meditation beforehand, you can arrive a little early, get that in, and then at 7, I guess they, you know, open it up and begin the talk part.
Great. Yeah, I project it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wish we were there, but here we are. We're at home holding down the fort.
Yes, and we're talking to people likely around the world.
Exactly. Who can complain, really?
Who can complain? And the other thing I wanted to mention is that there's an upcoming at-home working meditation retreat, and that'll be on Saturday, March 27th, and that may be the last one for a little while.
And, you know, that was the second thing we were talking about, one of those simple ideas that just came to us that we thought, oh, what the heck, why not do that? And, again, it's just the response to it has been extraordinary. People have really, really told us over and over how helpful it is to have those days, to basically have practice brought right into the center of their lives. So it's fun.
Yes, yes, it's really great. And as many people know, practice everywhere. Several times a day, Sherry sends short awareness practice reminders by way of text messages, computer,
yep.
Facebook, Twitter, and iPhones.
Yep.
And
the ways to receive it are growing. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Many, many.
Yeah, and, you know, we're now climbing up into the, you know, many, many hundreds, close to thousands of people who are receiving it around the world, so that's really fun.
Yeah, it is really fun. And when you sign up, you can choose which of those ways you want to receive them.
Yeah, which I think that's all on the What's New page of our website, which is when the website comes up, you see a beautiful photo of the monastery, and you click on that photo, and you go, the next thing it takes you to is the What's New page, and I think all the instructions are there.
Oh, great. Jen, could I give a sample message that I received today?
Oh, love it. What a good idea.
Your life is exactly what you think it is. What do you think? Breathe and let it go.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, what's so fun about it is it's just, you know, it's designed to bring us back here to the present moment. So we go around our days and, you know, maybe we're, you know, really believing something in a conversation in our head or, you know, busy doing the work that we're doing. And then the little tweet comes in. You know, a lot of people have it set up to be a text message on their phone. And then you look down and it's a real call to come back here, to come back to yourself, to be in the present moment.
Yes, yes. And in my experience, it's a beautiful way to really bring practice directly into my life by this little piece of plastic I carry around with me.
Yes, yep, I really agree.
And the last thing I want to mention is that there's a unique opportunity coming up to attend a shorter and really inspiring event near the monastery, and that's Peace Storming, April 22nd to 24th, and that's going to be in an area that's close to the monastery.
Yep.
And if you remember the quote of gratitude wants to give, this is a great way to put that into action.
Oh, that's very nice. Yep. Yeah. That is, it. We're teaming up with a community. This will be our second year that working with them. They do a lot of services for low-income folks on the other end of our county. So we're in the same county, but they're kind of as far as you can be and still be in the same county. And they serve folks who are quite poor in some cases, and they really do a lot of neat work, and just they really respect and appreciate what we do, and it's a really nice relationship. And so if that's something that interests you, to come up for the weekend and help us, you know, we'll be doing gardening projects and not sure what else, probably some painting stuff, maybe light construction kinds of things. But it's a really fun thing to do, to jump in and assist another community with what they need to have happen.
Yes, and I remember from last year's event, there's a blog up there that's just really wonderful, talking in detail about the whole experience.
That's right. That gives you a really good sense of what it's like. And I was just talking with our IT team recently about how this day and age with all these blogs, it is a challenge to make it all easy to find on the website. So hang in there. If you can't immediately find the blog to the Peace Storming, I think there's a section on the left-hand side of our, you know, with the navigation bars that says something like Living Compassion Blogs, and I have a feeling you can find it through there. But hang in there. With a little bit of clicking, you'll end up there.
Yeah. A couple more things about that event. People can come for a portion of the retreat, or they can come for the entire time. And if you want to stay at the monastery during this event, there's a prerequisite of having attended a prior monastery retreat.
Yeah, just so you understand about the privileged environment and all that, since it's not really a traditional retreat, we'd need folks who can really understand all that. Yep.
Yes. And anyone is welcome to participate in just the day-long portion of it also.
Yeah, exactly. Something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
Yep.
And with that, shall we go to our callers?
Please.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen and Michael. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hey. I don't know what to say. I know that I'm really identified, and or, you know, someone has been. It's funny because, you know, as the radio show was approaching, I felt fine and like I didn't need to call. But I knew, you know, that someone else really has needed a lot of support, and so I wanted to make the call.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just, you know, I've talked about this a lot. Just depression is the way that – it's a good way that conditioning
mm-hmm.
gets me, and it's just really, really ramped up its game or whatever you would say. And so I don't know, I'm just have been really in it really powerfully again, and
uh-huh.
I wanted to reach out for to connect. So
So if I'm following, it sounds like depression has been around recently, and then leading up immediately to the radio show, it didn't really feel like that was there so much. It didn't feel like you needed to call, and yet there was an awareness that someone in there needs help.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what does it feel like she needs? Do you have a sense of that? So what is it about reaching out that?
Um, I don't even know. You know, I mean, I know in, you know, getting the support of Sangha, like, I guess it feels like, you know, there's been an eye, like somebody trying to find a mentor and use the tools and kind of striking out with that. And so knowing, like, okay, another possibility is, you know, here's another tool, reach out and connect with Sangha and, you know, see what's there.
Yeah, which seems like a really good strategy, doesn't it? So if you've got your little practice toolkit and you've got this job you're working on, and you try the one tool, and that doesn't quite seem to do it, and so try the other tool, and that's not quite working either. Well, let me try this tool. So kind of keeping at it.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Seems like a great strategy, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and it feels like there's, you know, a commitment to do that, like to keep, you know, keep trying different tools and keep trying other things. Which is great, you know, and it just feels like, I don't know, like conditioning keeps kind of like trying to match it, you know, and I know this is talked about in practice too, like at some point we can know that, or not at some, I mean, we can know that we're stronger,
yep.
But man, like it doesn't feel true a lot, like conditioning feels so strong, you know?
Yeah, yes, I do know. And that's what was striking me too, is that it's really amazing to see that even as strong as conditioning is coming at you right now, it sounds like that there's someone in you who keeps reaching into that practice toolkit.
Yeah.
Someone who understands that, yes, this is really, really hard, and, you know, what I can do is hang in there, stick with it.
Yeah, yep, I know, I don't know what to say, but yeah, that person, you know, is the one who got me on the phone and, you know, all of that, so, I don't know, I think that what I'm seeing about it is, like, I've been, like, living bigger and making choices that are way outside of what conditioning says is okay for me and, you know, all that sort of stuff, and then it feels, and being in a place of my heart, and it feels like for a while there was a lot of big energy and fun around doing that, and now it feels like conditioning really pushing back, and it's back in the old stuff that, like, for a while didn't get me, but it's really on, like, you should just kill yourself, and I know not to kill myself, and that's not where I want to go, but there are times when there's somebody here who really, you know, that really is a trigger for her, and I don't know, it's just where I am with it, you know?
Yeah, and so, Jen, let me ask you, did the content of your life shift at all in this, or is it literally just all happening on the process level?
Well, I mean, the content in that, like, in the last, you know, I don't know, 6 months or in the fall, it felt like I really began to get a stronger, like, advocating for myself to follow my heart and do all of those things. And so
right.
It felt like I kind of got to go with that energy for a while. And then I don't think other content shifted. It just feels like maybe the conditioning, you know, finally figured out the ways to get back in there or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's not that something devastating has happened in your life or some big thing has shifted or changed, or it's from the way you describe it, it's literally just a backlash of conditioning, and actually the way you say that is quite perfect, that so somehow in the fall there was this big opening and really a greater commitment to really being there for Jen, and it sounds like seeing some ways to do that and taking steps in that direction, and that for a while conditioning didn't have a way into that because it was new. There was sort of a new level of commitment. And then over time, it, you know, it's sort of back there rallying the troops, and then it's come forward now with a big assault on your new commitment.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, it's so hard to see it this way when we're in the middle of it, but as you say that, I can so see how, you know, we always talk about when we go through really, really hard times and we come out the other side, we so often look back on it with gratitude and realize that that made me stronger. And as you lay that out, it's so clear that if what we're doing is being willing to, you know, clean up all of this karma, burn through all of this that's been there forever and ever, as we get stronger and stronger, we get more and more able to take on the next level of what's there to take on. And as we first enter that next level, it feels huge, like it sounds like you're in the middle of right now.
Yeah, I think a lot about the line I hear, or it's in the books or something, you know, like my survival system is trying to kill me. It just feels like that's the level at which it's coming at me. But I know that place too that you're talking about, you know, I mean, I've definitely seen that in practice that, you know, the hardest places, you know, yield so much. I guess there's just like, maybe there's not yet the total conviction that like I can make it through. Like I get, you know, someone feels like, you know, can I really... You know, when this thing is, you know, having me really consider killing myself, I feel like, you know, is somebody going to make it through this, I guess, you know?
Right, right. Well, and you just said the critical thing, which is that what it sounds like is you become the person who feels that way.
Yeah, I know that I'm getting like too, you know, too identified or whatever. Like I am that person a lot more and I'm having trouble stepping back and being like the person that can help. I'm just like really in it much more.
Yeah. And what are you doing on a day-to-day basis to really assist her? I mean, she's in a really, really hard place right now. What occurs to you on a day-to-day basis, kind of even minute by minute?
That's where it needs to be more, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting, you know, I listen to the archive some, but probably not, you know, nearly as much as I could. And, you know, I do reflective listening.
Exercise?
I am actually pretty good with that. You know, occasionally
Great.
It'll get me, you know, for a day or something. But that's been a little disturbing, too, because that used to be pretty helpful to move the energy. And I've been still doing that. And it feels like that's maybe I need more to kind of deal with this bigger place or something, but
not. Maybe doing exactly what you're doing, which is continuing to be committed on all fronts. I mean, someone who's willing to take care of the body, to exercise every day, who's doing reflective listening buddies, who's sitting, who's keeping all those commitments, you know, it's only a matter of time before conditioning can't stand up to that kind of commitment.
That feels good to hear. Like, okay, if I can, you know, one thing that I have wondered is like, it feels like in doing, like some of what I've been doing is like learning new things and some study and some new career stuff. And so I am doing all of the practice things for sure. And I am showing up or, you know, there's lots more I could do, but I'm doing a lot. And I also have been like, you know, doing a lot more like classes and, you know, I'm doing this other learning too. And for a while when I first was in practice, I really almost exclusively like kind of didn't read other stuff and didn't listen to other stuff just on purpose because I realized how helpful. I just wanted to immerse myself and surround myself in Sherry's work and everything. And so now I've felt a little like, ooh, maybe that's throwing me off. And, you know, how does one like, can I start reading other books and listening to other things? And is that, I don't know, I've wondered about that piece too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's interesting. And of course, probably only you will be able to answer that question over time as you explore that. And, you know, that taking that attitude of mind as sort of that scientist, like we often talk about it of, okay, well, if I do this, what happens? And then how about if I try this over here? And then what effect does that have? And, you know, not needing to draw any conclusions, but just sort of watching to see what leads to what. You know, does this lead towards suffering or does this lead away from suffering?
Yeah, that's a good attitude of mind to bring to it, so.
Well, and it sounds like when you were, I'm guessing when you were first practicing and really wanting to immerse yourself in all of that, that some of what's coming up for you now was more a part of your day-to-day life. Is that, would you say that's true?
I'm not sure if I followed that.
So you're saying right now you're going through a time where, say, depression is a big part of your experience?
Yes.
And then I'm guessing when you first came to practice that was true more often, that depression was a regular part of your life, let's say.
Yes. Yeah.
So it might be that strategy of really, you know, really immersing Jen, kind of, I don't know if you follow the Voices cartoons, but putting her in the practice cave.
Yeah.
Where she's really surrounded by as much support as she can possibly have through this really difficult time, you know, might be a nice thing for her. Might be a really kind way to treat her during this time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the voice comes up and says, like, yeah, but you're also now committed to learning and doing all these other things, and you're in these classes and these, you know, you're committed to this, that, and how to sort of work out the time of all of that. But, you know, I'm sure that there are ways to do it. It's just that comes up.
Yeah, 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 because the voice doesn't want you to be successful.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are always ways, you know, there are always ways to sit down and look at, okay, well, what do I, you know, if this were my child, you know, that example we always like to use. If this were my child and she wanted, you know, X, Y, and Z for herself, then, you know, I would sit down with her and look at, okay, well, let's see, you know, what's in your schedule and what's really working for you, and, okay, maybe we cut back here and add this in. And, you know, it's a whole kind of strategy that we can get in there and just, you know, really look at it. And of course the voice comes in and says, no, no, that won't work because this and that. No, but you have this and you have that, and that can't work. But it can work. It does work when we have the mentor assist us.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll take a look at that. So thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And let us know, because it's, you know, it's a place we all know in practice where we're practicing our little guts out. You know, we're making commitments. We're feeling inspired. And then, boom, there's a huge pothole. And we fall into it. And we, you know, can't see why, didn't see it coming. You know, here we are. We're in the pothole. And, you know, our chance is to just see everything we can about that. You know, who knows why it's there? Who knows how it came up? But here I am. I can be with this person in the pothole, not knowing, you know, when it's going to pass, but knowing that it will. It always does. It always has. But I can be with her as we're going through that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Jen.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. Today we have the privilege of being joined by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Again, there's some courageous folks out there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's such, we all know that place, my gosh, where it just suddenly we're right back in it.
Yes.
You know? And it's just, as far as I can tell, that's just a part of it. And, you know, we're just in it for as long as we're in it, and we practice like crazy, practice, 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 and sooner or later we won't be in it anymore.
Yeah.
We'll be back in the light room.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And we're going to hear from our sponsors here, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy? What?
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, I forgot one reminder at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And that is to encourage people to stick to one topic for their call.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
We have a lot of callers here, and we'd love to talk with
you. I'll try to do the same.
Okay, great. And we have our next caller here. You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Janet from New Hampshire.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. Well, this is really exciting. I haven't called in a really long time.
Oh, cool.
And something just got a bug, you know, to call. I just wanted to participate.
All right.
And it was really also fun because once I had made the call, I realized that my computer wasn't working.
Oh.
So we're offline, so I wouldn't have even been able to listen to the show.
Oh, that's great. That's so great.
I love when things like that happen.
Yeah. Yep.
So what I wanted to talk about was I'm really noticing, and the last conversation was really helpful to me in a lot of ways, but one of the things I'm noticing is I'm doing a lot of different things in my life. And, you know, so I'm putting on a lot of different hats and being a lot of different, I guess, sub-personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really having fun with it. And I'm seeing that it's actually quite easy for me to slide from one to another, to slide in and out of things. Mm. And I was just noticing today when I was thinking, well, what do I want to call about? And I guess I want to call and say that I'm really happy. I'm feeling really happy.
All right.
And I'm really happy. I know.
It's always good to
feeling
that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm feeling really happy, and it's not that it's not hard, because conditioning is there all the time, telling me you can't. You can't. No, you can't do this. Well, you can't do that, because you're this. You know what I mean? Like, you're this, and you can't change and be something else.
Right. You don't
do
that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't be all these different things.
Mm.
And you can't do all these different things. You can't be all these different things, and you can't do all these different things.
Wow.
And I just thought, I wonder if that's true.
Because actually, I am being all these things.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am, and I can, and it's actually fun, and I still have time for, you know, the biggest thing is, well, you're not going to have time for yourself. Yeah. You know, and it's like, well, what is that?
Which is
that,
so funny,
you know,
because everything I do is for myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I can.
Oh, Jen, thanks for saying that, because that's what the experience has been.
Yeah.
All of the things I'm doing really is for myself.
Yeah, exactly. I can be with myself in all of it, which I project is the experience you're describing. That
yes.
brings the happiness, the joy in doing it, is you're actually there.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever allowed myself to be there in quite this way before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt too, well, I was too concerned with what conditioning was telling me.
Right.
You know, and really believing that.
Exactly, that voice that you're talking about that's always there. You know, it doesn't go away just because you're, you know, enjoying what you're doing. Oh, you can't do this. You can't be all these things. You can't. But you're just doing it. So instead of being in relationship with the voice all the time, which it sounds like is what used to happen, you're actually in the life. You're actually doing the things.
Yeah. And it's really fun.
Really?
I mean, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
and I'm just sitting here like grinning because it's really fun. But and what happened when you were talking to the last caller was, I was thinking, oh, how long is this fun going to last? This isn't going to last. Conditioning was getting in there. This isn't going to last much longer, you know. Big boom's going to happen. And the, you know, but yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, it was striking to me when you said earlier that, you know, you're doing all these different things, wearing all these different hats, and that you're finding, I forget how you phrased it, but something like you slide in and out of each one very easily.
Yes, I'm able to slide in and out and really be there with whatever it is I'm doing and then slide into the next thing.
Which says to me that it's all happening within awareness. So, yes, maybe when you're, I don't know what the content is, so I'll just make it up, but maybe when you're at painting class, you know, the painter shows up, and maybe when you're, you know, teaching, the teacher shows up, and maybe when you're doing, you're exercising, you know, the athlete shows up. And so maybe there are these different parts of you, but those parts of you are never left alone completely. They're held within this larger awareness that never loses consciousness, that's always there.
Something just said, you have no idea what she's talking about. Because, yeah, all of a sudden it was like, yeah, that's probably not me. That was a great one.
That is good. Oh, and so fun to catch it.
Yeah, you were talking about someone else. Well, that wasn't me. It is, I mean, I'm going to listen to that again and see exactly what you said because I just disappeared.
Yeah.
Somebody disappeared. That says that you're too aware, you know, or you get too much. That's not you. You're just having fun.
And it's funny because if you think about it, just on a practical level. So, I mean, we all know the experience of like, you know, so let's say I go to work, right, and I do my job. And if I get really identified in that, not just be the person, I mean, Sherry often talks about, you know, one of the biggest causes of suffering is sending the wrong person in for the job, right? And you're just sending the right person in for the job. So it works.
Yes.
You know, you really want the person who can do the work.
Yes, that is exactly the experience. And as I'm talking about it now, it's really interesting because I feel this fear starting to come up, like, well, how did that happen? What did I do? How do I do that? You know,
right.
And yet it was effortless.
Yes.
I didn't think about it.
That's right. That's right.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
There wasn't the thinking.
Yes.
There was just something else taking over the awareness.
Yes. And that there's not, so if I go to work, and the working person is there, which is great. That's what we want, the one who likes to do her job and all of that. But if she takes over the life completely, if I become identified with her and there's not a larger awareness, then I'm going to stay at work late. I'm not going to go home and do exercise like I wanted to do. I'm not going to attend to my relationships. I'm not going to – you see what I mean?
Yes, I see exactly what you're saying.
So that's what's happening, is that each person – is being allowed to go in and appropriately have their arena, but never takes over.
That is so cool.
Very cool.
And which is why it feels so good.
Yes. It's a very fun way to live a life, in my experience.
I love it. I'm going to keep practicing.
Well, and you know what else is so good about it, Janet, is that when you were saying, you know, oh gosh, you know, I listened to the last caller and I, you know, how long till I get there? Because we will. You know,
listen
to something. But
right.
With that awareness that you're, you know, that muscle that's building in you where you're being able to fluidly kind of weave your way through this life, that falling into whatever it is, that difficult place, can just be the next thing. And yes, it will be painful, and yes, it will be hard, and yes, we'll hate it, and it's not our first choice, and all of those things. But doing what you're doing, which is really enjoying how it is right now, is, at least in my experience, is actually building the muscle, building the ability to be okay with when that does come along, when the really hard thing does come down the pike.
Yeah. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Good. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad I called in.
Yes, Yeah, that's very fun. Yep.
Okay, nice to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye, good night.
Bye, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here.
All right.
Caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Hello? Hello? Sorry. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yep.
Hi. Sorry, this is Valerie. Sometimes I have my headphones plugged into my phone, which mutes me.
Oh, okay. No, we can hear you, Valerie. Yep.
I guess I'm calling in because I am going through sort of a worn, ragged time by conditioning, and I purchased my tickets for There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and I sort of have a fundraiser thing that I'm trying to start, and all these things I'm being brought back to practice, but I'm still I have so many opportunities for practice that are coming in to my life, but I'm still sort of going through a patch of anxiety.
And Valerie, kind of jumping off of what we were looking at with the first caller, does it feel almost like you said, you know, you're having all these practice opportunities, you're doing all these things, and still you're having this anxiety. Could you say that maybe then kind of because of all of that, there's sort of a backlash that's happening?
A sort of a voice that gets so strong that it just is constantly has it's the judge. It really is the judge. And there's just this subpersonality that consistently believes that it takes saying it out loud to somebody for somebody else to sort of, you know, your best friend, or, you know, saying it to an external person.
Yeah.
But
well, there's some wisdom in that, isn't there?
Yes, but I getting from out of my own head is why I think I called.
Yes.
The other reason why I called is because I picked up one of my favorite books. I guess I should just stick to one thing, but
It's all part of the same thing.
I really love The Essential Rumi by Coleman Barks, and I just really think that I project into a chapter called The Pickaxe, the ninth chapter, about tearing down your house and going underneath the shop floor to find or to stop the restless ego satisfactions, and to rip up the board from the shop floor and look into the basement, and you'll see two glints in the dirt. And I just really think that that's also just why I wanted to connect tonight, because I just feel like that's what practice is for me. Getting those reminders.
Yep.
Getting the reminders through the day, and still having the anxiety from it's almost like I'm better able to say to the voice, you're the reason why. You're the reason why I'm suffering. You're not convincing me.
You're the reason why I'm anxious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it's really no mystery, Valerie, is it, that it? You said it's at you all the time right now, all the time, all the time. And we can see why. I mean, if you're going at it, you know, at conditioning, if you're having this level of commitment to your own freedom, signing up for retreats, you know, doing all the practice opportunities that you're doing, and then it's panicked. It's because it's going to lose its grip on your life.
Yeah. And I can think back to the times where I've felt a loosening of the grip, and I can sort of leap in my head into, okay, so what do I need to do to loosen the grip? What can I take right now from what I've learned?
Uh-huh.
And how can this so-called problem be mine, and who out of all the who's that are within me can do something?
Or
just be there.
Say that again?
Or just be there for the person. Say something.
Yeah.
Say something like I'm here for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because in a way, there's nothing to be done, is there?
Yeah.
There's just being with her. You know, it's like the place again of being with a very small child who we love, and that child being hurt and wishing it wasn't that way, wishing we could do something about it, but we can't. But we can be there, which is really all that very young part of probably needs. It's just someone to be there with her.
Sometimes I just get involved into where the judge almost takes over that role and starts kind of acting like it's trying to be supportive, but it's my whole body still feels the anxiety.
Yeah.
And it's like what really works.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what I'm hearing you say really works is just the simply being there. Holding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And picking up and the idea that there is no start again. It's not, you know, just the retroactive looking back, just the reviewing and the pointing to what I haven't done. Just that sort of torture is to be recognized to be recognized and called out to.
Yes. Recognized and called out, exactly. Yep. That's not anyone on our side. Someone look back and review and point out what we didn't, and it's not someone who wants us to succeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So big times, huh? Lots of courage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, big. Glad you called in, Valerie. That was big, wasn't it?
Yeah, I feel I feel like I can, like I can sit and not run to some distraction right now.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. To the best of our ability that we can just sit still with it and really hold it, as you said, really be with whoever it is who's having a really hard time.
Yeah.
Okay, well take very good care of yourself and do let us know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Valerie.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air. We have some very courageous people out there, Jen.
I know. Gosh, it's just, because that's, you know, it's very, very fun to practice in the places where life is working and things are going my way and I'm really seeing everything. And, I mean, gosh, that's fun. And like we were talking about with Janet, that's such a great time to really work those muscles because then, you know, suddenly we're not in that place and we really, really need practice, you know. And it is. It just takes so much courage and willingness to keep going, to not listen to those voices that say, gosh, if I'm feeling this way, then this isn't working, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, in both of these calls where folks are talking about this, how much that commitment to practice can set off that reaction from conditioning.
Yes.
And, you know, the requirement from us to match it with that level of practice that everyone's been talking about is, as you say, very, very courageous, inspiring.
Yeah, really courageous and inspiring. And I just am amazed that, you know, all of us, find the willingness to go through that.
You know, I was just thinking that too. I suspect it's because, especially with each person, you know, with all the folks we've talked to tonight, you get to a point where we realize there's really no other option.
Yes.
There's really, you know, because not practicing during those times is not going to lead in a better direction.
I think this is a great opportunity to stop, drop, and breathe.
I agree.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Then we have more callers here.
All right, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. This is Carolyn in Boise.
Hey, Carolyn.
Hi. You know, I was just listening to that stop, drop, and breathe, and it reminded me what I've been trying for that practice lately is standing on one foot. And I don't know about anybody else, but I absolutely cannot think of anything but focusing on standing on one foot.
Yeah.
When I stand on one foot.
That's so great. Yep.
Yeah, it's really been working for me. It's not nearly as discreet as breathing, unfortunately. But
yeah. Well, you could, if you're in public, you can just kind of pretend one leg is hurting or it's tired or something.
Yeah, and just kind of shift a little bit. It's amazing how much there is to concentrate on when you stand on one foot.
Well, and even, you know, of course, in order for that to occur to you and to be willing to do it, I look at that with some of the tweets. I don't know if you get the tweets that Sherry sends, but when it comes in and it gives assignments like that, like stand on one foot and, you know, whistle or whatever. In order to be willing to do that, you have to be disidentified.
Yeah. Well, it takes me there if I'm not. That's
you're not.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And it would be interesting to see, actually, to watch really, really closely to see is it the standing on one foot that then disidentifies me, or is it the split second before that and it occurs to stand on one foot?
Deciding to, yeah. Yeah. You know, I do think it's both, actually, because there is, I just can't think about anything else when I'm standing on one foot. It is really entirely focused on the business of standing on that foot.
So maybe it seals the deal. If you're kind of there, pursued to it. Yeah.
Yeah. At any rate, that's not what was on my mind. This show has really covered the spectrum of what I've felt. I have really been mired down in depression for the winter and got some, they've offered some really good guidance back in January, and that's been helpful, and I think I'm coming up for air now, actually, and it's just, oh my God, what a relief, finally,
and you know
to
what?
Do that.
Carolyn, I just have to pause very briefly, don't forget where you're going, to say thank you for adding that in at the through the winter, that certainly that's a key, I bet, that's going on for a lot of people right now after months and months and months of basically being indoors, cold weather, raining, snow, whatever it is. You know, just that has a huge impact on us.
Well, yeah, it definitely has been when, you know, I can drive to and from work in daylight and notice the colors. I have a, you know, 30-minute commute or whatever through very pretty country.
Yeah.
But and I just didn't see it. I just had no relationship to anything but darkness through the winter. So maybe that's it. I don't know. But one of the things that happened as I started coming up for air again is that I realized that I've spent an awful lot of time in the last several months feeling like this, very young, sad child. Well, actually, I knew that I felt like this very young and very, very sad child. And what I noticed just a few days ago was that the adult that's feeling like a child that's feeling very sad is actually much, much sadder than I remember the child that I was. And that child that I remember certainly was shy and felt left out and you know, had sadness, but the adult feels, I think, much sadder, certainly much, much more often than the child did, and I got curious about that. And started to suspect that the adult that's feeling like a child is experiencing not that little girl's feelings, but conditioned feelings that have, you know, that conditioning has deepened and deepened.
Yes. That's exactly what arose for me when you first described it. It's really interesting. Yep.
Well, and that's where it gets tricky, and that's what I'm calling about. So if this really is conditioning, then embracing that sad little child is not going to help. In fact, it's probably going to deepen the conditioning. It's going to reward it. And what would help is you know, recognizing the conditioning and, you know, turning away from it. But sometimes it really is that little child that really does need to be embraced and reassured.
Yeah.
And I'm stymied. I really am.
And I'm curious, as you've kind of, now that you've had that awareness, that there are at least two players in here, at least in this scenario you're talking about. So there's a small child who really does have some sadness, but that wasn't her entire life experience. She wasn't sad all the time. And that it feels like there's this adult figure who is possibly sadder, but definitely more of the time. And that you're sort of wondering, gosh, on the one hand, there's embracing the young child, but not wanting to embrace it, something that's just conditioning. And as go ahead.
I think that's how the adult experiencing how the conditioning gets what I believe is more extreme because it's been encouraged and rewarded.
Right.
You know, every time I tell it, oh yes, you poor, you poor dear, you poor dear, sort of thing. Let me hold you, and it's like, yeah, that's cool, But sometimes it really is a little child that needs to be reassured and,
yeah.
and you know, kind of held.
So as you've had that awareness and you've practiced, I imagine, with embracing it in, you know, different situations, what have you seen about, have you noticed different reactions at different times, or what evidence have you gathered as you're looking at this?
Well, I guess the answer is no, that I don't, I haven't been able to pick out, I guess what I've been doing is just assuming that, oh, geez, that's conditioning again, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't, let's not play into that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe every time it has been, maybe the time that it really isn't, the child will speak up. But
yeah,
so far, no, I really can't distinguish between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know I've heard Sherry talk about the trick, you know, with I or you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is that I'm very good at interchanging them. When
uh-huh.
I recognize using either one or the other, it's, well, you know, how does it feel if you change that pronoun? And, you know, I don't, at least in this case, that doesn't seem to be the ticket for me.
Uh-huh. And so when it comes up, what have you been doing of late when that sadness arises?
I've been kind of muscling it around, to be honest. And I have, just in the last few weeks, have been able to just, you know, stand on one foot.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. and say, oh, you know, I'm not going to sit in this right now. I'm going to try and be more present in right now.
Uh-huh.
And that is a ticket for me, just
uh-huh.
coming back to being, you know, not present just in, you know, terms of, well, what's life doing right now, but
yeah.
in exactly
yeah.
this moment in this place, and just exactly being right here. And right here is not being a sad child. Right here is
huh?
being at work or doing something, you know, shoveling snow or
yeah.
whatever it is.
Well, and what's fascinating to me, and it'll, you know, you'll have to see for yourself as you go through and look at it, but that everything is in the present moment, and mm-hmm. anything can pass through the present moment, including the sadness of a very young part of me. And so what I love about what you're looking at is, to me, what you're saying is, am I in a story, or is this something that's really happening in the moment?
That,
and, you know, so maybe in the moment there's an emotion that passes through that's the emotion of a very young part of me. And if I'm with that, it will pass usually very quickly. So I can't remember what the statistic is, but people talk about, you know, an authentic emotion passes through in some very short period of time. And then what I hear you pointing at is that, you know, conditioning will use anything. And so, you know, oh, poor sad child, you know, that could become a whole life identity if someone wanted to go in there.
Yeah, well, it sure did through the winter, and has often. I mean, I struggle with depression a lot, so,
uh-huh.
you know,
uh-huh.
and that's a good part of where I go when it happens. Yeah.
And so that one-legged thing just seems like such a great strategy because, okay, so that passes through, and I stand on one leg. If what I find is it poof, it's gone, and I'm just here doing whatever I'm doing, well, that's a pretty good indication of what was going on.
Ah, okay.
You know?
That's something to watch for a while
mm-hmm.
and see how that works, yeah.
Because, of course, what we're going for is not, it is that fine line that you're talking about, and it's such an interesting place to look and practice of not sort of, okay, I don't want to be sad, so we're not going to do sadness. I don't want to be angry, so no anger. You know, it's not stuffing things away in corners, but it's being right here with whatever it is.
Yeah, I haven't been sure if I'm just, you know, muscling it away, saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, no, I'm just not going to
mm-hmm.
allow that,
mm-hmm.
or if, and it's going to come back at me with a vengeance, and that is a possibility. It's certainly happened
mm-hmm.
before, or if it really is just dissolving by being in the moment.
Yeah, and I just had this funny image that would be kind of fun. Like, so there you are on one leg, and to call out loud and say, is there anyone who's still sad? You know, so it's like a wide open invitation. It's perfectly okay if there's someone who's still sad here. Essentially what you're doing is you're taking a stand and saying, okay, we're not doing stories because that's not helpful.
Yeah.
But we can talk to anyone who needs some assistance. That's fine.
That's really good. That's really good.
I think I'm going to try it. Stand on one leg. Anyone who needs anything?
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel, I feel obvious enough out in public standing on one leg without starting to talk out loud about it.
You could pretend you're on your...
but that's a really good idea to just, you know, make it clear that if there's somebody that needs taken care of, I will do that. But yeah. If it's just another story, really, that's enough.
Really, who needs it? Yeah.
Yeah, really good. All right, I'll work with that.
Okay, very good. That's fun. Thanks for calling in, Carolyn.
Thanks a lot, Jim. That really helps.
Okay, take care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, it's after 6 o'clock.
I know, Michael. I just looked at my watch and I was shocked. I was thinking, oh, I wonder how many more callers we can take. Not many more.
Yes, I'm going to invite the folks who didn't get on today to call in early next week.
Yep.
And I'm reminded of what a great privilege it is for me to be participating in this show.
And it's a great privilege for all of us that the show is here.
It is.
Yep.
It is.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. So thank you to you for doing the show always, and really to everyone. I mean, it takes all of us, right?
Yes. And thank you particularly for joining us tonight.
My pleasure.
Okay. Thank you,
Jen. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.